Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Jeremiah chapter number 14, and I begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible said this, "The word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah concerning the dearth," or we could say the drought or the famine right there is what he's dealing with. He said, "Judah mourneth, and the gates thereof languish. They are black under the ground, and the cry of Jerusalem is gone up. And their nobles have sent their little ones to the waters. They came to the pits and found no water. They returned with their vessels empty. They were ashamed and confounded, and covered their heads, because the ground is chapped, for there was no rain in the earth. The plowmen were ashamed, they covered their heads. Yea, the hind also calved in the field and forsook it, because there was no grass. And the wild asses did stand in their high places. They snuffed up the wind like dragons. Their eyes did fail because there was no grass." When we come to the end of verse number 6, it looks pretty bad there where they're at. There's a drought in the land. The hinds did calf and left their calves in the field. The Bible said that the land was even chapped, or the land cracked open because of the drought. But look what the Bible said in verse number 7. The Bible said this, "O Lord, though our iniquities testify against us, do thou it for thy name's sake, for our backslidings are many. We have sinned against the Lord." Look what he said. Here's the reason the condition of the land is the way that it is: because the people of God has backslidden against God. They said the reason that our land is the way that it is because we have sinned against thee. Because we have sinned against thee. Now today we can talk about the condition of America and the famine of revival, if you want to say it that way, in America today. We can talk about the condition of so many churches today. Matter of fact, I started to read a long list that Brother Beatty put out not long ago about our churches and how many churches has closed their doors in the past 12 months here in America. But can I say something to you today? The answer for the condition of our country is not another president. The answer for the condition The answer for the condition of our country today is not another governor. The answer for the condition of our country today is one more time the church of God getting right with God, returning to God, but coming back faithful to the house of God, and that will be the remedy for the condition of our country today. Now, I want to preach on this thought with the help of the Lord for just a little while today. The condition of America, or the condition of America's churches, or if you just want to say it this way, the backslider. The backslider. You see, years ago, the old timers preached on that. You can say amen or oh me right there, but the old timers preached on that years ago. Years ago, we heard a lot of preaching on backsliding, but we don't hear it no more today. Now, you might as well holler amen, because I'm usually the one here preaching, so I'm saying it to myself. We don't hear preaching on backsliding no more. Everybody's afraid of offending somebody or saying something that somebody may not like. Hear me and hear me well. If you read this book long, you'll get offended. It offends me every once in a while, but I need to be offended every once in a while so I can get my hide right with God. Amen. Backsliding today. Father, I pray that you help us today. You know the need of this service, God, and I pray, Lord, that your will and way would be done in it. I pray, God, that you'd meet the needs of the hearers, God. I pray, Lord, that you'd speak to my heart, God, as we've prayed the past few days. Oh, God, Father, would you send revival, and God, would you let it start with me, God. Father, would you let it begin in my heart and in my home, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated today. I want to talk to you a little bit. Here's what he said in verse number 7. Oh Lord, that though our iniquities testify against us, do thou it for thy name's sake. For our backslidings are many. We have sinned against thee. I began to think about this word backsliding, and I began to really even reminisce in my mind of preachers of days gone by, preaching on backsliding. And I began to think about what this one would say or that one would say. And I began to read the Bible and began to read after different people about this subject of backsliding. Let me show you a few things by way of introduction. Number one, I see this. I see the biblical interpretation of backsliding. What is it today? What is it today? What is backsliding? As I began to study it, here's what I found out. Here's what it means. It means to flinch, to go back. It has the idea of going back. And here's what one said, being stubborn like a heifer. So it said, Brother Will, being stubborn like a heifer. Whenever I read that, my mind immediately went to the Bible. Listen to what your Bible said in Hosea chapter number 4, verse number 16. For Israel slideth back as a backslidden heifer. Somebody say amen. Now help me this morning. I didn't say you was a heifer. God said Israel was a heifer, all right? That's what the Bible said. They slid back as a backslidden heifer. I began to think about that, and I began to read a little bit and to study a little bit. And I began to think, Brother Will, about those times that I've helped you work cows and different things. And there was times that those old heifers would lock their front knees. They'd lock their legs, and man, you'd push and you'd shove, and every once in a while, old Brother Leonard, he'd get the shocking stick and go behind them, and praise God, they'd get to moving then. And you know what he was saying? Here's what he's saying. There's times in our life that we get to a place and we just lock down at that place. What is backsliding? It's when we come to a place and we decide we're not going any further. I want to ask you a question. Have you come to a place in your spiritual life where you say, I'm as far as I want to go? If you are, then you're backslidden. You're backslidden. Think about this, the interpretation of it. But I thought about this, the personal inclination to backsliding. We all have a tendency to backslide. Every person said, boy, if y'all'd help me preach this morning, we'd get through this thing a whole lot faster. I promise you, I'm going to preach till I get done today if it's 3 o'clock. So if you say amen, it might be 2:55, all right? We all have an inclination to backsliding. We all have a personal tendency to go away from the things of God instead of to the things of God. It's not in our human nature to pick up our Bible every day and read it. It's not in our human nature to bow our head every day and pray. It's not in our human nature to go down to the house of God on a regular occasion. But when I got saved by the grace of God, God let a new man move inside of me called the Holy Ghost, which helps me to do that. But there's times in our life where we have an inclination to back up. I thought about this. What did the Bible say? He said this, Hosea 11:7, and my people are bent to backsliding from me. Here's what he said. In 1 Corinthians 10:12, wherefore let him thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. A lot of times, the reason that we backslide is because our priorities are not in the right place. Because our priorities are not in the right place. I read this morning. A buddy of mine named Marcus sent it to me. Here's what it says. When we put God first, all other things fall into their proper place or drop out of our lives. Listen to this. Our love of the Lord will govern the claims of our affection, the demands on our time, the interest we pursue, and the order of our priorities. You know what he was simply saying in that statement? Here's what he's saying. When we put God first, we live for God, we make him the central priority of our life, then all of our other priorities will be right. All of our other priorities will be right. Think about this morning. I see the biblical interpretation of backsliding. I see the personal inclination to backsliding. But think about this, the spiritual illustrations of backsliding. Throughout the Word of God, we can see illustrations. There's Lot at Sodom. Think about this one. There's the Israelites in the wilderness. What about Demas in 2 Timothy 4? He had loved this present world more. What about Jonah in Jonah chapter number 1? I was writing a devotion this week, and I've started sending one out every week to our sheriff's office, and I was doing one this week, and I was dealing with Jonah. And can I say something to you? Whenever you look at Jonah's life, Jonah did mess up. Jonah did backslide on the Lord. You know what David did? David backslid. Matter of fact, over and over. You know what the children of Israel did over and over and over and over again? They backslid on God. Why did the children wander 40 years in the wilderness? They didn't have to. In just a few days, they could have been at Canaan's land. But why did they wander 40 years in the wilderness? Because they continually went back. I thought about this. What is backsliding? I just wrote one word down for backsliding, sin. It's sin. Well, preacher, you just don't understand how hard of a time I'm having right now, and that's the reason I'm not making it to church. How much more should you be in church? Are you with me? If you're having a hard time, you know what? If I'm having a hard time, that's when I need church. I need it all the time, but man, when I'm really dealing with things, I need the house of God. Through COVID, don't nobody get mad at me. It's the first time I've really mentioned the word in the pulpit in several weeks. Let me tell you the reason why. I'm over it. I'm over it. It's never leaving. It's not going anywhere. It's going to be here. From now on, we're going to have to learn to deal with it. None of it took God by surprise. It's still got a 99% survival rate. Daddy said it this way last week. Are you holding on to the hand of faith or are you holding on to the hand of fear?
I'm just going to trust God. I'm not going to be dumb, but I'm going to trust the Lord, and I'm going back to the house of God. But can I tell you something right here? Through this, I've said it many times, it's an attack on the church. It's a satanic virus. There's not a doubt in my mind about it. How many people is completely out of church today that a year ago you would have said they would never not be at church on a Sunday morning, but because of fear. And I'm just going to go ahead and say this. If you can go sit in a restaurant, but you can't go to the house of God, your priorities is wrong. I'll take it a step further. If you can get takeout from a restaurant and you can't sit in the house of God, your priorities is wrong. Well, I told y'all I come to preach this morning, and I'm just going to preach till I get done. What has happened in our country? I tell you what's happened. We're sinning. We have slid back on God. You say, preacher, you saying I ain't supposed to go out and eat? I went out yesterday. Had a good time when I went out to eat. Had some good food. I'm just saying this. We've allowed the devil to sow fear in our lives. And our churches are suffering from it. Our churches are suffering from it. I walked through here last night. And I stood right here, Brother Matt, and cried and asked God to let us before long see that choir packed back out again. Let me tell you the way we're going to see that. We're going to have to get our hearts back in tune with God. Church, I'm preaching to me as much as I'm preaching to anybody today. We're going to have to get our hearts back in tune with Him. You say, well, preacher, I read my Bible, son. I pray, son. Well, is it greater than it's ever been? Have you got more of a desire to serve God than you've ever had? Are you more faithful than you've ever been? If you're not, then something's wrong. We're sinning. That's what backsliding is. Look at this. There's the disgrace of sin in this verse 7. Our iniquities testify against us. The disgrace of it, sooner or later, sin will shame the sinner. There's the diversity of sin. Our backslidings are many. Many kinds of sin were involved, as well as many in number. And can I just say something to you today? If it was wrong then, it's wrong today. I'm not going to say which one of my youngins, but we had to have a little talk the other night. Their mama did, and I got in on the tail end of it. And here was a statement that was made. Well, that's just the way it is today. No, that's not the way it is today. Sin is still sin. Sin is still sin. Right is still right. Wrong is still wrong. Amen goes right there. If it was wrong 20 years ago, if it was a sin 20 years ago, it's a sin today. The diversity of sin, there was many. We want, because of our society, we're supposed to accept it now. We're supposed to accept. I'm not going to accept it, Brother Stan. I absolutely refuse to accept it. I'm not going to. I'm going to love the sinner. I'm going to be kind to the sinner. Matter of fact, me and an individual that's a Christian man was talking last night, and we was talking about an individual that lives a completely different lifestyle than I do. Here's what I said. I said, I'm going to be kind to them every time I see them. I'm going to shake their hand. You know what? It tickled me to death. I went into a place of business the other day, and I seen a lady there. And whenever I seen that lady, I know Leslie won't care. Whenever I seen that lady, here's what she did. Well, preacher, how you doing today? It's good to see you. I had never been so excited to have somebody shake my hand. I'm going to start singing that old gospel song where they didn't even shake my hand. I'm being honest with you. She shook my hand. And I thought, well, maybe there is still a little bit of hope for America. I'm going to love the sinner. I'm going to be kind to the sinner. I'm not going to belittle the sinner, but I am going to hate the sin. And I'm going to tell you something today. The diversity of sin in our country has caused our churches to back up on what the Word of God has to say about sin. And we've watered it down today. God help us when we go to church and can't even tell the difference in a rock concert and a gospel song. Oh, well, preacher, it's just changing the times. I had this said to me not long ago. You've just got an old soul. I said, no, I've just got a saved soul. And when I got saved, God put a new desire in my heart. He put a new song in my heart. God changed my life. I don't have a desire for the things of the world anymore. The diversity of sin. Look at this. There's the dishonor of sin. What did he say? He said, we have sinned against thee. Who is the thee? It's God. Now, it's saying that they sinned against each other. You know what? You may fall into sin today, and I may fall into sin today. And if I do, I'm going to apologize to the church. That's what I'm supposed to do to get it right. Some of these preachers falling head over heels into sin, and other big name preachers covering it up and letting them just contend. That's wrong. That is wrong. If I fall into sin, for me to ever be truly right with God, I got to make it right with Him. I got to make it right with my family. And I got to make it right with the church because I'm the pastor. But I want to say something. You ought not to hold the pastor to a standard that you wouldn't hold your own family to. But to ever make that right, I'm to apologize to the church. But more to the church, more than to the church, more than to my family, more than to myself, I've sinned against a holy God. When we backslide, when we're not faithful to the house of God and the things of God, when we don't read the Bible like we should, when we don't pray like we should, let me tell you what we do. We just don't sin against ourselves. We sin against God. We sin against God. It's a sin against Him. That's what they said right here. We have sinned against thee. I thought about this. How does God react to that? Well, here's what He said in Revelation 3:19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. You say, well, preacher, you know, I've been backslid for 14 years and God ain't never spoke to me about it. You ain't saved. I'm just the firm believer of that. Here's your Bible for it. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Well, I got saved back in 1927. I went to church 3 times, and Sally didn't talk to me the right way, so I just decided I wasn't going back to the house of God. You know what? I went to a restaurant yesterday that I like to go to that's got really good food, and I waited 10 minutes as 4 different waitresses walked past me and looked at me and didn't take my order. And finally, one did come take my order, and I ordered my food, and I ate my food, and I enjoyed my food, and I got up, and I paid, and I left. But you know what I'll probably do again this week? I'll probably go back to that same restaurant and give me some more chicken. I know that surprises y'all that I got chicken and French fries, but you just can't go wrong with chicken and French fries. Amen. And if it's breakfast, get you some eggs and French fries and grilled tenderloin. Somebody say amen right there. That'll help you. Wednesday morning, me and Brother Ryan Hayes and Brother Larry Lowe was at Leon's on Main Street. And this little young girl come walking out there. What can I get you today? And I said, I want some grilled tenderloin. I want 2 eggs scrambled well. I don't want nothing runny and nothing to worry about. I want them done. And an order of French fries. Do what? I said, French fries. Them things you put back there in the deep fryer, French fries. Bring me some ketchup. Home fries? No, I don't want home fries. I want French fries. Are you with me this morning? That'll help you. That'll help. I don't even know what I'm preaching on. I'm hungry. Anybody got any French fries in their pocketbook, Haley? Let me tell you what happens. We began to walk away from the Lord. Before we know it, it's just a little bit, and it's a little bit. Oh, but I'm telling you, she didn't treat me right. How many times you been treated wrong at Walmart? Anybody ever do grocery pickup? They don't never get my wife's order right. Don't ever. You say, why does that bother you? Because I'm the one that's eating the stuff she's getting that ain't there. But you know what she'll do this week at some point in time? She'll make her a Walmart order up, and she'll say this, if they keep doing this, I'm going to quit doing this. I mean, we've said it for a year now, but she ain't quitting. She's stuck in her ways. She has backslid from the original style of grocery shopping. You know what she does? She goes back. How many times do we say that? As a fella put this up, and I shared it this morning. He said this, when you decide to leave the church and talk about the preacher, make sure you tell all the good things he done for your family too. Make sure you tell all the times that he was there for your family and helped your family. Oh, well, I just, you know what, that preacher, he just didn't look at me the right way and he didn't shake my hand. Well, you know what, I have bad days just like you have. I didn't come here today for you. I'm still in my introduction. I don't know if I'll get to the message. I didn't come here today for you. I'm glad that you are here, but I done made up my mind if it was just my wife and my youngins and my mom and daddy, because they knew there's homemade soup after service. That's the only reason they come today. It wasn't for the preaching. I was going to preach on backsliding. I don't come for you. You say, well, you're here because we pay you. No, you pay me to look after the administrative parts of the church and to visit the sick. You don't pay me to preach. That's a calling God put on my life. You pay me to talk to your kids and try to get them straightened out because you can't. And if you couldn't, why in the world are you bringing them to me? Take them home, spare the rod and spoil the child. Get the rod back out, beat the devil out of them once a week, and everything will be all right. Somebody holler amen. If kids come in like this tonight, that's it. Brother Church said, they won't be sassy. Here's where we've come to today. It's not a sin against me. It's a sin against God. And God says that he will rebuke us. If there's no rebuking, Bible just said it this way, then we're bastards and not sons. That's what the Word of God said. Backsliding this morning. Let me show you something. I see the means of backsliding. What causes, and I'm just going to run through this quickly. What causes a person to backslide? You know, there's a lot of people that's not in church this morning. They're not in church. Now, they'll go eat at a restaurant today at 1 o'clock, but it was too dangerous to go to church. It's too dangerous to be around people at the church. I don't guess none of them people down there at the restaurants got it. I'm all for going out to eat. I love to go out to eat. If you don't go out to eat tonight after church, let me know. We'll go out to eat tonight after church. I'm just being honest with you today. You know I'm telling it right. I've heard them say this, we don't go nowhere. And then you drive by the Dollar General. Or the Walmart, or the Food Line. We ain't been nowhere. I didn't know they had identical. Somebody's going, man, why didn't Dakota preach today? I'm being real. I'm being as honest as I can be with us this morning. But because a stinking liberal governor and said the church is the hot spot. I'll tell you the reason it's the hot spot, because whenever he goes, if it's an old-time Holy Ghost church, he gets under conviction. Well, amen, Brother Jonathan. We're scared to death. Oh, I ain't going nowhere. I'd like to know what the miles was on their vehicle a year ago and what it is today. I'm just being real. What causes backsliding? The means to backsliding. What causes this to take place? You know what? Nobody ever just woke up one morning and went, you know what I'm going to do today? I'm going to backslide. I ain't never going back to church again. I'm going to get drunk and I'm going to run around on my wife. Today is the day it's going to happen. But let me tell you what happens. Little by little. Little by little. Something said. And instead of confronting it and dealing with it, they hold it in. The means of backsliding. They hold it in. I give you a alliterated expository outline of my text verse. Okay, now I'm off of it. We're in the topical side of things now, okay? Something's held in. Leslie will say this every once in a while. What's wrong with you? Nothing. I've been with you for 22 years. What's wrong with you? Nothing. Well, why are you acting like that? Acting like what? All of a sudden, you see people at church and you want to go, hey, what's wrong with you? What? Nothing. Well, God bless you. Bring me some cheesecake tonight when you come. I don't know if I'll trust enough to eat it, but bring me some. Things. Miss Pam's going to be in the doghouse when she gets home. Or maybe her husband. But anyway, we hold things in, and it begins this gradual process in our life. You know what a man that separated from his wife didn't wake up the Sunday morning after his wedding on Saturday and went, huh, I'm going to divorce you. Daddy said, that'd be real bad. That'd be real bad. Kelsey may have woke up Sunday morning after her wedding on Saturday and went, huh, I should have never done this. It's too late now. But what happens in our life, church, I'm just being honest with you. Little things begin to set up in our life, and we don't deal with them. We don't deal. You know what? I've walked up to people before, and I've looked at them eyeball to eyeball and went, what have I done to you? What are you upset about? Nothing. They didn't say it that way, but they may as well have. The means of it. Where does it all start at? Think about this. There's a misplaced love. There's a misplaced love. Misplaced affections can be dangerous things. People will place their loyalty where their love is. There's some dangerous love affairs. Think about this. Men shall be lovers of their own self in 2 Timothy. The love of money in 1 Timothy. Men love darkness rather than light in John. The love of the praise of men in Matthew 6. The love of the world in 1 John 2. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. You know what, if you have to work overtime at work, if you have to and it's required to, I completely understand that. But you know, sometimes people just work a Sunday because it's big pay. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. I'm glad, you know what, if something happened right now, we could pick up the phone and make a phone call, and in just a few minutes, we could have paramedics here, we can have law enforcement here, we can have fire. Thank God for all of that. I'm not talking about that. Brother Tim's on call sometimes. Or are you off call now? You're off all right. He's off call now. And when you preach it like this, there got to be some comedy somewhere. But when he was on call, there was times that even on Sunday mornings when he's supposed to be teaching Sunday school, preacher, I'm not going to be able to make it. I just got called. That's one thing. But just to do it to make more money is a lover of pleasure more than lovers of God. The means of backsliding. There's a misplaced love, but the means of backsliding. There's the misspent time. What did the Bible say? Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Backsliding will occur when a child of God fails to make the most of his time for God. When he fails to make the most of his time for God. The means of backsliding. I want to ask you a question. Madeline, come start playing. I'm nowhere close to being done. I'm not going to tell you if I'll pick it back up again another service because you won't come that service. The means of it. It all just starts little. If my memory serves me correct, and you correct me if I'm wrong, but if my memory serves me correct, it started with Peter sleeping at a prayer meeting. Then he just denied the Lord one time. Then he just denied the Lord a second time. Then wasn't it the third time that he cursed? It all started with just going to sleep at a prayer meeting. The means of it. The means of it. The means of it. The manifestation of backsliding. I'll deal with that in another service. But I thought about this. I thought about this. Because I got to give you this. It's the last point. But I got to give it to you. There's the mercy for backsliding. There's the mercy for it. You see, he said if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just. There's the plea from Jeremiah 3. He said, return you backsliding children. I will heal your backsliding. He said in Hosea 14:1, O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God. There's the pardon. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whosoever confesseth and forsaketh, them shall have mercy. There's the promise for it. If we confess it, he's faithful and just. I want to ask you a question this morning. Are you backsliding? Well, we don't hear that word no more. We don't hear it. Are you backslid this morning? You see, we've changed it now. Are you walking a guilty distance from the Lord? That don't sound near as abrasive as you a backslider. You a backslider. They have a disease with alcohol. No, they are drunk. They have an addiction to a prescription medication. No, they're a dope head. It's just facts. It's fact. We have watered everything down in our society today, and there's a drought in our land. There's a drought in our land. I looked at Daddy the other day. We was talking. Me and Brother Matt talked about this the other night. We was talking about youth camp. We was talking about what preachers to bring in. And here's what I told him. I said, name me 10 preachers that's over 60 years old, that's not wobbled on the shaft, that's not changed, that's still preaching out of a King James Bible. Now you can holler amen on that too. That's still preaching out of a King James Bible, that still holds a, that. I'm not going to run this rabbit. I'm just going to jump it and then let him run off. But still holds this as a holy place right here that dresses right when they're in the pulpit. Name me 10 that knows God, can preach in the power and the unction of the Holy Ghost of God. We come up with 6 to preach at youth camp. 6 of them. 2 of them was already booked. So the other 4 is coming. Then I told him, I said, name me 10 that's between 35 and 55 that knows the move of God, that knows the move of the Holy Ghost, that's not wobbled on the shaft, that's not changed, that's still preaching out of a King James. I still believe the King James Bible is a holy, inspired word of God. I said, name me 10 between 35 and 55 that if the absolute Shekinah glory of God fell in a service would know what to do with it. That lives right, holy, pure, and has right testimony. Still walking right. You can name a lot. Jimmy, tell you the reason our churches are in the condition they are, it's because the pulpits are in the condition they are. It's because men of God has watered down the Word of God and has tried to change to fit our society today. I'm still supposed to be a peculiar person. People are supposed to look at me cross-eyed like y'all have been all morning. Are you backslid? Said, preacher, how do I know if I'm backslid? Was it every time you're closer to God than you are right now? Then you're backslid. Have you got aught with your brother? Then you're backslid. Have you got aught with the preacher? Then you're backslid. I can stand before you today. I can stand before you today and say, God being my witness, I don't have aught against nobody. There may be some people that I don't go around as much because of things of the past. You're still human, and when you get hurt, you never get over it. You might as well holler amen. And it don't mean I hate them, Brother Jeff. It don't mean that I have aught with them. It don't mean things is awkward when I'm around them. I'll hug their neck and help them in their time of need just like I would my own family. Are we right with God? If we're going to see God grow our church, we're going to have to get completely 100% in tune with Him.